Representative Kirkbride?
Mr. Chairman, privilege of the floor.
Please do.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you'll direct your view to the North Gallery, see my daughter, Hannah, and the representative from House District 4 in 2076, my grandson, Max.
Welcome to the House. Chairman Zwanitzer? No? Chairman Petroff?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Quick privilege of the floor, please. Thank you. I've been asked by a few people how to purchase the coin sets. Go to the museum gift shop at the Barrett Building. Thank you.
The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 35. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 35 from Representative Dan Zwanitzer, an act relating to boards, commissions, or other bodies requiring appointed members to notify the governor when the member fails to meet or maintain qualifications as specified, providing for removal for failing to meet or maintain qualifications as specified, providing for the governor to fill vacancies as specified, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, the committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 35, Boards and Commissions, Removal of Appointed Members, respectfully report same back to the House for the recommendation of due pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Gay, Jennings, Kirkbride, Lindholm, Paxton, and Dan Zwanitzer, signed by Representative Dan Zwanitzer, Representative Kirkbride, Vice Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Zwanitzer?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the Committee of the Whole rise to report to do so with a recommendation that House Bill 35 do pass, and I would be happy to explain the bill myself, as it's mine. Ladies and gentlemen, just for some background, the state of Wyoming, we have somewhere over 160 different boards and commissions in our statutes. Members of the public that the governor will appoint to serve in various capacities, to work with our state agencies or on initiatives to ensure for the public good. About 45 of these boards or commissions require Senate confirmation. And so the members of these boards that require Senate confirmation are arguably some of the most important boards we have, including the Public Service Commission, the Board of Parole, the UW Board of Trustees, the Commission on Judicial Conduct and Ethics. I have the entire list at my desk if anyone would like to see what the Senate confirmed boards are. So each of these applicants that the governor selects that go before the Senate are required to sign an affidavit that they live in their residence in that district, that they have been a member of their political party for at least 6 months, and that they meet the qualifications of that role. However, there's currently nothing in statute at this time that as soon as they're confirmed, they have to maintain those qualifications. And so what this bill does, it adds a new section to the Boards and Commission Statute, Section F, that it becomes the duty of the member, should they change any of those qualifications, to notify the governor and for them to be replaced. And so it ensures that they maintain their political party and their residency for the position they were appointed to. Again, this only applies to the Senate-confirmed boards and commissions, and it does things not only the two main ones on line 9, their residency and political party affiliation, but then on lines 10 and 11, it's any qualification of which they were appointed. So if they have to be a veterinarian to be on the Board of Veterinary Medicine, if something changes and they lose their veterinary license or they retire, that would also qualify under this section. And so almost each one of these Senate-confirmed boards and commissions do have some other parameters depending on the specialty or oversight, but it just seems to make sense, certainly philosophically for me, if we're going to do all this work to make sure they meet the residency and political requirements, that they maintain those throughout the length of their term. And I would be happy to answer any questions.
Representative Summers?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. To the bringer of the bill, I would just ask, has there been issues of non-compliance or problems associated? I would assume that we have instances that this has caused a problem.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we did have an instance this past year. Many of you probably read about in the newspaper that happened somewhere in September or October. One of the more important boards and commissions in the state was found to be out of compliance with this. Well, there really is no statute, so they weren't technically out of compliance with the original rule that the political party shift had to be in a certain ratio, and there were two more Republicans on this board than the statute allowed for. And so the press found that, brought it to the attention of the executive branch, and at that time the executive branch said they would, through natural turnover and process of appointing new members, the problem would take care of itself. It was my, I guess, philosophical belief that this problem should be taken care of immediately, and so that's why I brought the piece of legislation.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, just a quick clarification. But was that the fault of the individual on the board or the fault of the agency? Because this seems to put some onus on the individual, and I'm curious whether there has in fact been any instances where it's been the individual's fault.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I strongly don't believe fault is the word. There's no requirement right now because we don't have the statute that they have to maintain their compliance. And so what this bill does is say, A, it's two parts. A, it's the duty of the member. If you are one of those people that's on a Senate-confirmed board or commission, and you sign that affidavit that you've been a member of that party for 6 months and you meet the qualifications, it's on you, and you should be notified upon taking that appointment. This is a very serious process. You know, these people are vetted, and it takes a while to find certain members for these boards and commissions. That at the time when you sign your affidavit, you would hope the executive branch would make it known that if any qualification changes, they have to let the governor's office know. If that member fails to do so, there's a second part there on line 10. If the governor becomes aware through any other means that a qualification has changed, he has impetus on him to immediately fulfill, claim a vacancy now exists in that board or commission and to fill it. And so, you know, things happen, people move, political party and preferences change, but because these Senate-confirmed boards and commissions really are important, and this legislature in past decades has felt that we need political party differentiations, and we have seven districts to make sure we have geographically based representation and viewpoints on these boards and commissions, it just makes sense that we go that extra step and say, well, now that we've confirmed you as a member of that district and that political party and whatever licensure or specialty you may hold, if you lose that qualification, you probably shouldn't be serving on one of these boards or commissions.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What about the case where you got a, say you do have to have a abide by a political affiliation and you're a member of one party and then you get to the day before the primary and your next door neighbor is running and you go down and vote for him and you have to change parties that day and then the next day you go back and change back to the original party and it looks to me like literally interpreting your bill, this guy would be out of compliance for a few hours, at which time he needs to notify the governor, and then notify him again when he's back in compliance, right?
Chairman Zwanitzer?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, that is true. And so this does put a strong discouragement on political party jumping in a primary, certainly in a general election. But if you're going to go and swear an affidavit, you've been a member of that political party for 6 months, and I would say philosophically we would have that view that you share the mindset of members of that political party, be it Republican, Democrat, or Independent, Libertarian, etc., that you shouldn't be one of those people that are in a primary jumping and voting for the other party's candidate. And so this would discourage on these 45 boards and commissions, roughly some have as many, little as 5, some as many as 12, there may be an impact of 800 people that can't political party switch in somebody else's primary. That is true, but I guess my belief would be that if you're going to say that you're a member of that political party and you're going to sign an affidavit to it, that you shouldn't be going into another party's primary and doing any of those kind of odd things in elections that we've seen in certain elections in the state.
Is there any other discussion on this bill? Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question for the bringer. In that legislation, if I'm reading it right, once somebody is found to be, of all things, a change in party, they're automatically, once the governor finds that out, he's got to automatically remove them from the board. Automatically. That bothers me in that there may be some extenuating circumstances, like you've heard. And why did you have to have it automatically? Or it sounds to me that is instantaneously. But I'd like a little more explanation on that.
Chairman Zwanitzer?
I think, Mr. Chairman, and perhaps it's just a philosophical standpoint, but in my mind it should be automatic, because if you say the governor may remove them, then we really don't need this statute at all, and we see the same thing we've seen occur this year. It's up to the governor, whoever he or she may be, that it's upon their choice whether or not to, replace that member. And so this really does put a pretty strong, mandate or dictate on both the member not to, change any of their qualifications, especially residency or party. But I would say if it wasn't automatic and you gave the executive branch discretion, they might not utilize it. And I will continue to think of any circumstance that someone could get caught in this, but I would say it's pretty purposeful that I can think of that you know you're changing residences. I mean, imagine if you got put, tornado, flood. This is within a geographical area of three or four counties, and so I can't think off the top of my head of any circumstance, because the place you live is usually your personal decision, as is your political party, and I can't see a lot of instances, and help me out, members, if you can think of one, that would require somebody to be caught accidentally in something that would diminish one of their qualifications.
Representative Coker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and for this bill, it seems to me that if we have requirements for positions on a board, those requirements ought to stay the whole time. If there's a reason why those requirements shouldn't apply, then we should go to that board and change those requirements and remove them. We shouldn't say, well, they're important when the person's on, but they're only important for that one moment. If they're important at one time, they should be important through the term. So I think this is a very good solution.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Folks, while the requirements generally are maybe a political affiliation or a location of residencies, there are other requirements some boards have, such as the type of species you may own or may not own, or other types of practices that you may be affiliated or not affiliated with. So actually, on a previous board that I was on, it was a juggling game. Somebody sold a species, they were no longer eligible to hold that sort of seat, so someone else would go possibly buy that species so that they could switch seats. So there's a little bit of shuffling. So it's not as clean as I think you're being led to believe, because there are some secondary type requirements on some of these boards. The other thing is if we're so concerned about this issue, then is 6 months long enough? Is 6 months long enough prior to the appointment to be affiliated with whatever this criteria is? Thank you.
Representative or Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I wholeheartedly agree with the previous speaker's concerns on both of those issues. We do have some weird qualifications. I shouldn't say weird, but some very specific qualifications. But I would remind the body those are specific qualifications based on the belief of this body in past years to set up those boards and commissions the way they're set up. And so if the problem is we do have some weird specificity requirements that we don't agree with, we should go into those specific boards and commissions and fix those. I can't fix those with this bill. What I'm trying to do is just do what I think everybody thought was already required. When you get appointed under certain qualifications, you have to maintain those qualifications to the length of your term. But certainly I do agree there are some instances we've done some weird things in boards and commissions that it's probably time to look at some of those over the interim or in the upcoming years.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Zwanzer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 35 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
House Bill 35 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Pursuant to House Rule 15-3, I'd like to request a cuspidor. While we're waiting on that, the next bill for our consideration is House Bill 41. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 41 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to professional licensing, granting the Board of Barber Examiners authority to establish requirements as specified, providing a definition, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 41, Barbering License Requirements, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Gay, Jennings, Kirkbride, Lindholm, Paxton, and Danswanitzer, signed by Representative Kirkbride, Vice Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Zwanzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm looking forward to see if you use that cuspidor for this afternoon. I move in the Committee of the Whole rise to report it do so the recommendation that House Bill 41 do pass. There is a standing committee amendment I would also move at this time. And because the original floor manager is in the chair using a cuspidor, we'll turn over floor management to the vice chair of the committee from District 3, Representative Kirkbride.
Representative Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Clipping right along, we will cut to the chase on House Bill 41, Barbering License Requirements. Enter with me, if you will, for a few moments into the world of hair care professionals. In that world, there are barbers who can do haircuts and can use a razor when they work on their customers. And there are cosmetologists who do all kinds of hair procedures, but not razor procedures. Barbers are old as a group. They're like farmers. And there's not many of them anymore, well under 100. Cosmetologists are young and frisky, and there's 2,000. So the bill makes changes for the barber licensing statutes to loosen up restrictions and allow that industry to get younger and more inclusive as hair care specialists are able to enter the barbering profession. It does this in two ways. Currently, there are no provisions to license a barbering instructor in the state. Barbers have to learn out of state and come in, and that's one reason for the dwindling number. So on page 2, lines 1 through 3, we allow for in-state licensing of instructors, which opens the door for a barber school or barber college to arise in the state. Then lower down on page 2, beginning in line 21, we have changed the requirements for becoming a barber. It currently requires 750 hours of experience, and this would allow the licensing board to change that to something less so that it might allow other hair care professionals to qualify as licensed barbers more easily. We also changed the effective date should the bill pass, which was the amendment, and it would go into effect immediately. I stand for questions.
You've heard the motion on the standing committee amendment. Are you ready for the question? Questioning having been called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The standing committee amendment number 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Are you ready for your... Sorry. Question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Zwanzer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 41 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
House Bill 41 is passed Committee of the Whole.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Larson.
Mr. Chairman, privilege of the floor, if I may, please.
Please do.
Members of the House, I would like to introduce in the gallery to the north my youngest daughter, Sarah, and my fifth grandson, Roland, who is a good constituent in Platte County and lives in Wheatlawn, and I just that's why I like to come down here.
Welcome to the House. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman Lindholm. I move the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed? Motion carries.
Reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. Speaker, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg to leave report as follows. House Bill 111, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 31, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 56, amended, recommended do pass. Representative Berger moved that the House rise and sit again. House Bill 35, recommended do pass. House Bill 41, amended, recommended do pass. Signed by Representative Lindholm. Thank you.
Representative Lindholm.
Mr. Speaker, I move the Committee of the Whole report.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Thank you, Representative Lindholm. Messages from the Senate. Messages from the Senate.
Message number 123, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 9, Right to Farm. Ayes 29, 1 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 124, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 17, Resident Contractor Materials Preference, ayes 29, 1 excused, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 125, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 26, Challenge Loan Interest Rate. Ayes 25, noes 4, 1 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 126, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 33, Precinct Committee Person Elections. Ayes 29, 1 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 127, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 82, Funeral Services Practitioners Act, Amendments, Ayes 28, 1 no, 1 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 128. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 5, Quebec Number 1 Historic Site Dash 3. Ayes 21, noes 8, 1 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 129, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 14, Assist Forfeiture Dash 2, Ayes 26, Noes 3, 1 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 130, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 11, Selling to Junk Dealers Dash ID Required. Ayes 28, 1 no, 1 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred House Bill 94, Parental Rights, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Escobel, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Pelkey, Pinnell, Winters, signed Representative Miller, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred House Bill 109, Felony Unlawful Possession of Controlled Substances, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Escobel, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Pelkey, Pinnell, one no vote, Representative Winters, signed by Representative Miller, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom is referred House Bill 89, Wyoming Legal Tender Act, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Klim, Kirkbride, Larson, Petroff, Steinmetz, two no votes, Representative Freeman and Representative Schwartz, signed by Representative Petroff, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred House Bill 106, Non-Consensual Towing Services, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass for the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Allen, Blake, Campbell, Kennedy, Eklund, Laux, Reeder, Walters, Daves, Warner, signed by Representative Blake, Vice Chairman.
Committee announcements. Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 10, Labor, will meet Monday, January 26th, 10 minutes after adjournment, in room H-17 to consider the following bills. House Bill 71, Nursing Education Programs, and House Bill 88, Health Provider Recruiting Programs.
Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 5, Agriculture, State Lands, and Water, will meet Tuesday, January 27th at 7 a.m. in room H-11. We're going to continue the House Bill 70 Omnibus Water Bill construction from our discussion yesterday, and then we will do House Bill 0084 Conservation District Mill Levy. And again, it's 7 a.m. Don't wait on the rooster to get you up.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet Monday morning at 8 o'clock in room H-18 to consider House Bill 54, Corrective Action Account Distribution, and House Bill 60, Trust Company Amendments.
Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will be meeting Monday, January 26th at 7:30 a.m. That's 7:30 a.m. in room H-10 to hear House Bill 99, Status Gender Neutral Term, or Statutes Gender Neutral Terms, House Bill 96, Catering Permit Limitation, and House Bill 81, Wyoming Lottery Distributions.
Chairman Zwanitzer Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, we're going to meet on Monday, but not until noon. We don't get up that early. In H-18 for House Bill 93, Public Service Commission, House Bill 79, Resort Districts, and House Bill 168, Water and Sewer Districts.
Chairman Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Committee on Education, number 4, will meet Monday immediately after adjournment and consider one major House Joint Resolution number 2. Please tell your constituents that are interested in that constitutional amendment proposition, please get them notified. We don't want to run this by without everybody having an opportunity to appear and testify.
Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 1 will meet Monday, January 26th, upon noon recess in room H8 to consider the following bills: House Bill 150, Arrest for Violation of Probation, and House Bill 134, Seized Property.
Madam Majority Floor Leader, that clears the deck.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, the list for the general file on Monday, January 26th, you should have a copy on your desk, but here it is. House Bill 53, 75, House Joint Resolution 4, House Bill 124, 115, 46, 61, 94, 109, 89, 106, and 62. And I'd just like to thank all of you for doing a terrific job this week. We've made some progress, and you can see now that the general file is growing longer, so we'll start to have some busy days next week. I hope with the early adjournment today, it'll give you a nice, restful weekend. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn until Monday, January 26th at 10 a.m.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We're adjourned until Monday, January 26th at 10 o'clock a.m.